few scripture this morning. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 10 once again. I am teaching a principle to you. Now, I've called this and entitled this Manifesting Our Abundance. This message and what I'm sharing with you is for believers. Do I have any believers in here? It's not for unbelievers. Now, if you're not a believer this morning, of course, we'll give you invitation. We don't want to leave anybody out. But what I am sharing with you is for those who have received Jesus in their heart and understand that as we walk with God, we are in a different kingdom now. We are no longer of the kingdom of darkness. We have learned that we have been translated out of the dark kingdom into the kingdom of His dear Son. We have changed masters. We used to serve the taskmaster. See, there's two systems. There's the world system and the word system. And you and I have been translated into the word system. In Proverbs 10:22, if you look at that one more time, it says that the blessing, say the blessing of the Lord makes one rich or well supplied, and it adds no sorrow. There's no toil. There's no longer a curse of toiling and trying to work harder to make increase and to make it happen in your life. What is the blessing? It is the covenant with God Almighty that overrides the curse. What is the blessing? It is the anointing of God in which divine favor rests upon His children. What is the anointing? It is the power of God to produce. So, what God says, you no longer live by the same rules. You no longer live by the same standards of this world. It just simply means that we learn to live by kingdom law and by kingdom rule. Amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We learn that we become sowers so we can become reapers. We learn that it's not our paycheck we look forward to, but it's the seed that we can sow from our paycheck so that we can reap that harvest in due season. We know that when we get into that kind of flow of giving and receiving, it's a principle. It's a principle that applies to a believer when they operate and when they live by faith, that they know that if they sow, they will reap. And so all the anxiety, all the worry, all the stress of trying to make it, trying to make ends meet, living from hand to mouth, all of that now goes out the window and you become free. You become financially free. You learn how to flow in the blessing of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? And sometimes, now listen to me, when we are new at this walk with God, we depend so many times on what we can do in and of ourselves. I remember when I began the church, I was fine as long as I could pay the bills, as long as I could supplement or make enough to pay what the church was doing, I was at rest. But you know, it got to a place, and God had to deal with me, that it has to go beyond what I can do. And you know what? Your life is going to go beyond what you can do. It has to go beyond that, because then it becomes faith. And sometimes we try to put, you know, limitations or shrink down. Now listen to this. We shrink down our own visions. We shrink down our own dreams. We shrink down and put our life in a box because we try to figure out how we can do it, how we can pay for it, or we don't allow God to show His greatness and His goodness in our life because we think small. We think, well, this is only what we can do. This is all that we can do. But we have to give God the opportunity. Sometimes we try to reason with God and try to convince Him that this is the way it should be. How many know you're not going to convince God of anything? You're not going to, the Bible doesn't say, you know, to reason with God, because you're not going to tell God anything. You got to listen to God, because God wants to tell you everything. And God will tell you, and He will lead you again by the Holy Spirit. This is not trial and error, folks. This is listen to God. Learn how to be led by His Holy Spirit, and He will lead you down the path of righteousness. Are you listening to me? So we're talking about two systems here. We're talking about the world and the kingdom of God. And can I just say this too? You know, the world is at a place where it doesn't listen to religion anymore. There is a lot of religion out there. How many would bear witness with that? There is a lot of religion out there, and the world really is not interested in religion anymore. In fact, most of the world, they're fed up with religion. They want something that is real. They want something that is tangible. And you know what else we're finding out? When people come into a church, people are hurting. They're broke. They're busted. They're disgusted. They're in lack. They're in need. And if they don't find a place where their need can get met, they will get discouraged and look for something else. The devil knows that as long as you serve the kingdom of darkness, then you are hooked in. You are tied in to that system. But if you ever break out of that system, then you become dependent upon God, who has a never-ending supply. Are you with me, church? So we're talking about abundance here. The devil knows that we are designed to serve the one who meets our need. And as long as people think it is the world that meets their need, that's who they serve. But when you make the transition and really discover that it is God who is well able to meet every need that you and I have, then you begin to serve that God in that kingdom. Now, there's something I want to show you, because we're talking about abundance here. And when Jesus came into the earth, He came with the gospel message of the kingdom. Now, again, in fact, let's look at something here. Let me show you this in John. Turn over to the book of John, chapter 19. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Now, I believe it, no, maybe it's chapter 18. Let me show you this, because there's something lost here, because the focus was on the crucifixion. The focus was the fact that Jesus was going before Pontius Pilate in the trial. But Jesus said something very, very, very important that we look over sometime. Now, let me refresh your mind here just a moment, that the same kingdom was in the garden with Adam and Eve before they fell. God supplied everything for Adam and Eve. They had no need. They had no want. But they lost it, and a curse came upon the earth. So when Jesus came, He came to reintroduce the gospel, the message of the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes people get that mixed up. The gospel is good news. It is good news. And sometimes people think, well, the gospel is telling people they need to be saved. Well, people need to be saved. But you see, Jesus hadn't went to the cross yet. What Jesus was doing was reintroducing that He has come to bring a new kingdom or a new government rule in the earth. And when you read the scripture, it backs it up, because Jesus said this. Look at this here in John chapter 18, verse 36. Jesus answered Pontius Pilate, and look what He said. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, again, sometimes we miss this phrase. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." In other words, what He was saying is that I'm bringing a different government. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants, my army would have fought for me. They wouldn't have delivered me in the hands of the Jews. But He said, my kingdom is not of this world. And He goes on, you can read verse 37, because He asked Him if He was a king. And He said, you rightly say that I am a king. For this cause was I born. For this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. So He was just bearing witness with what the Word of God already spoke. When the Word of God spoke in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, said that the government shall be upon His shoulders. Well, we have a type and we have a shadow of that in the Old Testament. When they carried the Ark of the Covenant across the River Jordan, they carried the Ark on their shoulders. It was a type, if you will, a shadow of the government being upon the shoulders of the priest. Jesus is the king of this kingdom. And let me tell you something else. It is not a democracy. We don't have to worry about elections. We don't have to worry about political speeches. He is the king of the kingdom of God, and he rules and he reigns supreme and is sovereign. There is no voting. It doesn't matter what you and I say. We do everything we do in the name of Jesus. We don't do what we do in our name. We do what we do in the name of Jesus. He says he has been highly exalted. He has been given a name that's above every name. At the mention of that name, what? Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So we've declared that not only is he Lord, but he's King. And Jesus has sent us forth as we become born again, born from the Spirit, born by the Word of God, new creations in Christ. Then we become representatives in the earth. And we come now to, if you will, enforce the kingdom message. We come now bearing what heaven itself gives to you and I as what we call ambassadors or representatives of the kingdom. We represent the kingdom in this earth. Can somebody say amen? So Jesus is on his throne. Now why? Because we are taking care of government business. And when we take care of government business, then the government takes care of us. It provides everything we need. Everything we need physically and everything we need spiritually. Now, I'm trying to establish this into you like, okay, what if we need protection? What if we need materials? What if we need something from the kingdom? Well, let me show you something else here before I really take off on this, because I want to establish that you are in the kingdom of God. Look over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, and let me show you this right quick, because he sends us into this kingdom of the world as what he called lambs amongst the wolves. Let me know that the devil is real and the devil is out there to steal, to kill, and destroy. Guys, we do need some air, okay, if you don't have it on, because it's starting to get warm in here. And before I get through, it might get warmer. So what we have to understand is that everything that you and I need has been provided for. Now, did you hear what I said? Are you flowing with me? Are you following what I'm saying? Once you see that you are not in the kingdom of the world anymore, but you are in the kingdom of God, now you are part of a government where there is no shortage. There is no inflation. There is no recession. There is no bad news. It is all good news. Amen. Jesus reigns, and Jesus' people who reigns with him will win. Now look at this. It says in verse 22, Hebrews chapter 12, and I'm repeating it because my translator asked me to make sure I say the verses enough so she can get where it is. Hebrews 12, 22. If you found it, say, I found it. Okay. What does it say? It says, now you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now he's talking about old versus new. The old covenant versus new covenant. As I said to you before, the old covenant was very strict. The old covenant had a set of laws. It had a set of standards. If you didn't adhere to those, it was, you know, send your saddle home, stoned, cast out, so on and so forth. But he said, this is the new covenant. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to innumerable, say that with me, say innumerable. What does that mean? That means more than your computer has digits. More than you can count. An innumerable company of what? Did you hear that? In God's kingdom, there is an innumerable amount of angels. In Hebrews chapter 1, you can just write it down again, verse 14 says that all of these angels of God are sent to minister for those who are heirs or who inherit the salvation of God. Are you with me? Okay, now come on over to verse 28, because now he tells us that we are receiving this kingdom. See, a lot of you don't operate as kingdom people because you don't understand that you're already in the kingdom. You think you're in the world and of the world. You're in the world, but you're not of it. You're still operating on the old system. You're still operating and trying to serve the kingdom of darkness because you think it's the kingdom of darkness that's meeting your need. Remember, the devil knows that you will serve the one whom you believe is meeting your need. That's why we've got to change that, break that, and come out of that darkness and come into the kingdom of God, knowing that we have a different supply. He said, you have, let me read it to you. It says, you have received, since we have received, talking about therefore, since we have received a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So we have a kingdom that cannot fail. We have a kingdom that cannot fall. We understand. Now, listen, you can't see the angels out there. You can't see necessarily the kingdom out there. But how do we receive it? We receive it by faith. We receive it by faith. And how does faith come? Can y'all adjust this a little bit? How does faith come? All right, now listen to me. We have to receive something even though we can't see it. We have to believe that it is. Same thing that the three Hebrew children had to do when they were, you know, they were commanded, because Nebuchadnezzar said, you will bow to this golden image or you're going into the furnace and burn. But what did they say? They said, we're not going to bow to your image. Our God will deliver us. Now, take notice here. They were looking at a different realm. They were looking at a different level. They weren't concerned about burning in the physical fiery furnace. They understood and they believed that there was a God who was greater than the King Nebuchadnezzar who had the fiery furnace. Are you with me? And it's important that they understood that there was a different level. There was a different kingdom. They were aware that there was another kingdom served by something greater than anything in this natural earth. What we have to do is understand and make the transfer. Everything that we need physically, spiritually, financially, everything is supplied by the kingdom. Now you say, well, Pastor, what if I need a car? Well, sure, the car's in the earth. The money's in the earth. But God knows how to get the money or the car into manifestation into your hands. Sure, those things are physically here. But that's what faith does. Faith looks into the kingdom of God. And God said, I will meet your need according to my riches in where? In glory. In Christ Jesus. Our job is to stay in faith, believe God, because faith begins to move the hand of God, or it brings the invisible into the visible realm. As believers, we have sometimes difficulty because we want to see things, or we want the manifestation of things before we believe them. That's why I said this principle, let me just state again, because some of you looked at me real strange when I said this, and some of you caught it, okay? Now, here's what I said. I'm gonna make two statements today. The first one, I said that your job has nothing to do with your prosperity. Some of you got that, and some of you are still thinking about that. Because, what? Well, let's go back and read. Go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to set the groundwork on this so that you can receive it. You know, I heard Oral Roberts say one time, that when you are preaching revelation and you're preaching principles, you need to preach it 7 times to the people. I'm going to try my best to say it enough ways, enough times, where you get faith to believe what God's Word says. I said that your job has nothing to do with your prosperity. Now let me ask you again, as we look at Ephesians chapter 3, let me ask you again. Y'all are answering me all over the room. How does faith come? Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing the Word. You say, well, I've already heard this, Pastor. It didn't say having heard it. See, that's a lot of people, well, I've heard that. No, faith is a continual hearing. Faith has to be heard by the natural hearing, and then it has to go into the spiritual ear. That's why it's a continuing hearing. Every time you hear the Word, it's going to produce faith. Every time you hear the Word preached, and there's anointing on that Word that's being preached, that faith is going to rise out of the spiritual hearing. And you're going to be amazed the more you hear something, the more you develop faith in that area for that to come to pass. Sometimes you're struggling because it's beyond your faith level. It's really beyond your level to perceive and believe. But if you can believe, how many things are possible? Okay. Now, Ephesians chapter 3, that's why you've got to picture who you're serving. You've got a picture because the Word of God is a picture of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came and He preached the gospel of the kingdom. What did He use? He used parables. He said the kingdom of heaven is as a tiny seed, a mustard seed. But what? When it grows up, it becomes a tree. A tree what? That can be lodged in by the birds of the air. The animals can go under it for shelter. It becomes a tiny seed in the beginning, but then it becomes a mighty tree. Amen. Are you listening to me? Okay. So, He said in Ephesians chapter 3, let's read this one more time to you. What did I say? 3 verse 8. Yeah. It says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now let me read it out of the Amplified again for you. It says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, this favor, this privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending. Now listen to these adjectives here. The boundless, the fathomless, the incalculable, the exhaustless riches of Christ. Wealth which no human being could have searched out. Now think about that. What does it mean, exhaustless? It means you can't exhaust it. Incalculable again. You can't calculate this. It is unending. It is too much for you to figure out in your own mind. Well, that's the kingdom that you and I represent. Now look at Ephesians chapter 1. Look at this, verse 3. Are you flowing with me? Come on. See, whatever you have need of, God has already thought of it. Whatever you can think of, God has already thought of it. Why? Because God sees the end from the beginning. God has already been there and done that. So everything that you and I could even think of, He said He's already exceedingly, abundantly above. He's already done that according to the power that works in us. Now let's see where that comes from. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, or you could say a better translation, the heavenly things in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. When did God choose you? Come on, say it. When did God choose you? When did God bless you? Some of you are not reading your Bible. When did God bless you? When did God bless you? God blessed you. God called you before the foundation of the world. Everything that you need, God has already thought of. God has already provided. Not just what you need, but what you want. He said, "The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want." But we have to learn that these things, even though we can't see them because they're in that dimension or in that realm of the heavenlies, but we appropriate or we take that out of the heaven and manifest that in the earth through our faith. You got to get this. See, I prayed for you today that not only would you hear the word, but you would receive the word that is taught to you. Because if we're not taught these things, then we don't give opportunity to receive the revelation of them. If we don't have the revelation of them, then we won't believe, we won't walk in them things, and they won't manifest. Let me say it to you again. Satan knows in this earth, he knows that people must obey him. And when they learn that they can disconnect from that kingdom, because Satan's kingdom is going to pass away. Satan's kingdom is going to come to an end. I've already declared to you and read from the Word of God that God's kingdom is forever. Because God will shake all the other kingdoms so that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that those things that can remain, so that we can receive the kingdom of God. Are you with me, church? And so we know that everything in the earth, it says, will pass away. We know that it will come to an end. We know that there will be a shortage. And we know that there will be lack. And we know that there will be debt, and there will be poverty. And there will be, you know, people hungry and people going without. But once we make the transfer, see, once we open our eyes that we serve a King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a king that is infallible again, a kingdom that is unexhaustible, that has no limitation, no end, that is the kingdom that supplies you and I, because we are now of that kingdom and we're part of that rule, we're part of that reign, we're part of that law. You have to see that. So, I made these statements to you because what happens is, if we don't understand this as Christians, I'm talking again to believers here just a moment, we get to thinking that we're tied to the world system. Well, let me qualify that, because let me tell you why. Because if we don't have enough, what do we tend to do? We tend to either change jobs, or we even move sometime, maybe to a different location, different part of a country, in pursuit of a job or the finances to meet our need. Sometimes we borrow money. Sometimes students, you know, you borrow money to go to college. Now, I'm not talking against it. I'm just saying that's part of the old system. That's part of the system that you came out of. What I'm trying to teach you is the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God works. We have to make sure that we realize that God has already provided everything that you need. If he didn't, then his word, and he's a liar. You say, well, how come it didn't manifest it? Well, one reason is people hadn't been taught that. If you hadn't been taught that, then there's no faith to believe that. You just go back to depending upon the system of the world. Because whatever system meets your need is the system you attach yourself to. Come on, I'm going slow so you can get this, okay? So I made this statement. I'll make two statements, okay? The first one, I said your job has nothing to do with your prosperity. God can pay off your debts. God can pay your bills. God can pay your tuition. You don't have to take multiple jobs. You don't have to be, you know, asking for multiple overtime to get yourself out of a hole. Now, let me just stop and say this. If you've got yourself in a hole, yeah, you're going to have to do some work to get out of the hole, because you put yourself in the hole because you were depending on and attached to the old system. I know you know, you're not shouting too good. Now, maybe next week, I don't have time today, I'm going to show you in the Word of God where every provision that Adam needed was provided for in the garden. Essentially, that's what Jesus came with his message of the gospel of the kingdom, so that the Garden of Eden that was lost and everything was provided for in that garden by God to Adam, and Adam wouldn't have him to work by the toil and the sweat of his brow. God was providing everything that he had need of. Everything in the garden provided every need that Adam and Eve had. And you know what? Every need that you and I have is right here in the Word of God. If you can't find it in the Word of God, you don't need it. The Word of God provides everything that we need. Now we gotta get that. How many of you are getting this? Okay. So we said that, okay? Everything that is in the invisible realm, there's a picture of it in this book. That's the way the book is written, because it is a picture of everything that God is. It's a picture of everything that we are in God. You read the Bible like you were sitting there and looking at a picture, because the Bible paints that picture for you and I, not only to see who God is and what God is, but who we are and who we are in God. And so everything, say everything, it's been provided. Because how do we get it? Well, We've got to meditate on the Word of God. The world has one concept and idea of success, but it's not the same success that God defines. Meditation brings revelation. He said if we meditate upon the Word of God day and night, he said, then will we have success. Meditation brings revelation. When I meditate upon what God says, it becomes revelation. Revelation becomes the picture that becomes real, that now I couldn't see, but now I can see. Revelation causes you to see the picture come into a reality. What you are believing for that you can't see in that fourth dimension, or the dimension of the realm of the Spirit, come into manifestation into the earth, where you can use it right now. Where it can meet your need right now. Are y'all getting this? Okay. And here's the second statement. Your occupation does not determine your success. Now, under the old system, it does. Now, let me tell you, let me explain this, because there's people who think if you don't have a certain occupation in this life, you're not successful. Because they equate the occupation to the level of things. If you're a doctor, you can have more things because you make more money. If you're a lawyer, you can have even more things because you make even more money. But if you're a janitor or a truck driver, you make less money. So you can't have as much. Now, we got to break that. I said, we got to break that. That is under the curse. The Bible says that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. It does not matter. Why should it matter? if you're a doctor or you're a lawyer or you're a janitor or you're a teacher. Why should there be an inequality when in God's kingdom we are equal? See, what you have failed to realize, that the world goes after jobs for money, prestige, you know, level of influence. But as Christians, we have gifts and we have talents. And we pursue what God has gifted and talented us as. And as we obey God and are in His will, then God, because He's an equal opportunity employer, will bless you with the blessing. And you can live just like the doctor or the lawyer in this earth. You can live like a child of King in the kingdom of God. But we gotta break that old way of thinking, because that way of thinking is tied to the curse. Now, what am I saying? There's nothing wrong with wanting to be a doctor. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be an engineer or an architect. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But what would be wrong with it if you're pursuing that career so that you can make more money? And think that that's what's going to make you successful. And that's what's going to give you that level of elevation that you need to be in high society, or in that level of echelon of promotion that the world looks at and the world gives. Hello, somebody. There's nothing wrong at all. But what you and I should be is what God called us to be. When we are what God called us to be, and we use our giftings and our talents, whether to the world it's a low-end job or a high-end job, God will give you equally same kind of house, same kind of car, same kind of everything. Are you listening to me? That is the kingdom of God. Now, I can hear some of you right now. He's saying, are you saying, Pastor, that we don't have to work? We don't have to get education? If that's what you heard, that's ignorance gone to seed. I didn't say that. Bind that thought right now. In fact, tell it to get out of here and go sit in your car until you get back out there. That is not what I said. Come on. You do everything you can do, but you do it in the will of God. Because who you associate your need being met with is what and who you're going to serve. Amen. That's why we got to come out of that system and get over into the system of God. Amen. Now, let me go over to Luke. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, we got to break that curse. We got to break it. I'm just telling you how the kingdom of God works, okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 20. If you're going to be an engineer, are you going to be a doctor? It's because God called you to be one. Amen? Okay. It's because that's the gifting and the call in you. It's not because you believe that if I do this, it's going to make me more money and I can live higher on the hog. You're not trying to live high on the hog. You're trying to live the high life in God. God will set you on something higher than a hog. Now, here's where we misunderstand and we misinterpret the Bible. Sometimes we get mispreached to because we don't have revelation of what Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God. He said you can't even enter into the kingdom of God unless you're born again. I started the message today by telling you this is for believers. This is the principle of the manifestation of abundance for our life, living in abundance, where we have broken the curse of poverty and lack and debt off of our life. How many know if we're in any one of those, we are not free? Jesus said, right here, He said, blessed are the poor. Read it. He said, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, religiously, we read that and say, well, bless God, you just bored on the wrong side of the tracks, poor you. But don't you worry, because one day you're going to go up to the sweet by and by, right up to heaven, and there you will have all the glory and the riches of heaven. Bless your little darling heart. I feel so sorry for you. How many know that is not true? Now, some of you are still having trouble digesting this. Jesus said, blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Jesus, the first thing he came to do was to preach the gospel to the poor. What's the gospel to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
All right. So he come so that the curse could be broken off of humanity to restore what Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden, where God was the provider, where God's responsibility was to provide for his creation.
Amen.
We lost that. And we became people who had to work under the curse. But thanks be unto God, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile, which is you and I, and we can live above poverty. Poverty is a curse. Say what I mean. Say, poverty is a curse. You've been redeemed from that curse. You know why? Because poverty, it smells. It is bad. It brings disease. It brings heartache. It brings separation. It destroys family. It destroys marriages. Jesus has come to break that curse. We have to come and make this transfer and understand that poverty was never, never, never designed for the human race. Human race was sucked into the poverty and the toil of their brow and the curse that came upon this earth by the disobedience of man. One of the definitions of blessed is the covenant that you and I have with God to override the curse. Now, one more thing. Let me just... You have to... Genesis, let me go back. You got to understand this, church. It's the world system versus the word system. You have been delivered from the world system, and you are now on a different system. Genesis chapter 41. Let me read this right quick because I'm out of time again. But listen to me. You're in a different kingdom with a different set of rules. See, some of you are still having trouble understanding this. But how many know different countries have different rules? If you go to Europe or you go to England and you drive on the same side of the road that we drive on here in Texas, they'll put you in jail over there. There's different rules in the kingdom of God. There's different laws in the kingdom. That's why it's important that we learn how to sow and reap. Our paycheck was never meant for us to live by. Our paycheck was meant to sow by. Our blessing comes from our harvest, our reaping. Now, I know that's hard for people to realize. That's hard for people to understand. But there has to be that transfer of a renewed mind and understanding. Remember I told you about Peter. What did he do? They've been toiling all night, and they didn't catch anything. Jesus wanted to use their boat so he could preach the gospel. And then he said, let's go launch out into the deep. And Peter told him, we've been out there all night, we didn't catch nothing. Remember? He said, but nevertheless, Jesus, at your word, we'll do it. And what happened? They threw down their net, and they caught that boat sinking load, net breaking load of fish. Called his partners out there, cast down the net, and they did the same thing. Showing us that in his kingdom, there is a vast, unending, inexhaustible supply. Because it's a different kingdom, under a different set of environment, a different set of rules. It brings something into manifestation. Sure, it's nice to know we got rewards in heaven. Sure, it's nice to know that we can go through St. Peter's gates and go into glory. But you know what? We need something right here in the here and now. I said there's suffering, dying, sighing, crying humanity going on right now. And people need to see the reality. They come into church, and if a church does not minister and does not show them the reality. And you know what? People are that way where you go too. They want to see a God that supplies. They want to see a God that really does manifest, that really does meet need. Because you're going to serve the kingdom that meets your need. Well, here's Joseph. Everybody knows the story of Joseph, don't you? How he was cast into the hole, the dry well, whatever it was. Went into slavery, went through Potiphar, went into the prison, and God promoted him because Joseph stayed truthful to God. Joseph realized, now listen to me as I close this. He realized that there was a kingdom greater than the kingdom of the world, or the Egyptians for that matter. There was a king greater than Potiphar, or a king greater than the Pharisee, the Pharaohs. Are you with me? There was, in verse, where did I tell you to go? 41. There was a great famine coming. There was a great recession, a great shortage. Joseph, verse 49, gathered much grain as the sand of the sea until he stopped counting. For it was what? That's what he was instructed to do. Now, verse 51 says, Joseph called. I don't have time to read all this, but you'll get the point here. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. What does it mean? For God has made me forget all my what? All my toil in my father's house. What happened when Adam was thrown out of the garden? He had to toil by the sweat of his brow. Joseph had a revelation that there was a different level, that there was another kingdom, a kingdom where the toil or the curse of that was broken. Way back, here's a type of somebody who put their trust, somebody who put their faith in a kingdom that could not be seen in the midst of heavy duty circumstances. He said, I'm even going to name my child. The curse has been broken. The toil has been removed. Now look at this. He said, I'll name my second child Ephraim, verse 52, which means that I'll be fruitful in my day of trouble, in my affliction. My God will still supply. Are you with me? And then if you read on here, after 7 years of plenty, and then verse 54, after 7 years of famine, they begin, as Joseph had said, the famine was all in the lands, but in the land of Egypt there was bread. Why? Because Joseph was there. Because the favor of the Lord is upon those who put their trust in God. So when the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. They were in that place, but yet they were still lacking. They were still wanting. They still had need. Look at verse 56. The famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt. So all the countries came to Joseph in Egypt to buy grain because the famine was severe in all the land. Did you see that? Everybody was without. The whole land was starving to death. The whole world was under that curse. But there was one man in the land living in the blessing of God who had abundance, who had more than enough, and even sold it back to the very people that produced it. Come on, somebody. And he had enough in his storehouse to feed the whole earth. And listen to me. Later, save his own family from the same storehouse. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. This is what we mean. A God who is infathomable, innumerable, exhaustless, unlimited, ready to supply every need that you and I have. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. We're going to give opportunity right now. We're going to break the curse right now. Amen. We're going to break the curse of the enemy. You've got to get